This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hi, and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So the brain is a magnificent and yet complicated instrument. Everything we do, either involuntary or voluntary, is driven by the brain. Aging, stress, gender all play a part in how optimal our brain is working. So it's obvious that to be successful in life and in our business, we need to have our brain firing on all cylinders. So I'm so excited to introduce you to one of our newest EWN Podcast Network hosts, Julie Anderson. And her show, Brain Lady Speaks, and her business is all about maximizing your brain capacity so you can achieve your goals and desires with greater ease and success. So please welcome the host of Brain Lady Speaks, Julie Anderson. Hey, Julie.
Hey, well, thank you very much for having me on the show today. I greatly appreciate it, Phyllis.
Well, I'm so excited, and it's just so, the brain is just so fascinating. I'm sure they know a lot more now than they've done in the past and constantly learning more. But it is kind of a mystery, isn't it, the brain?
Yeah, it is. You know, I was listening to a neuroscience at a conference a few years back, and he made the comment. He said, if you walk into a building that has, you know, like this huge open ceiling that's three stories tall, what we know about the brain is about an inch off the ground.
Yeah.
So while we have all of these amazing technical scanning machines, the PET scans, the functional MRI scans, the SPECT scans, all of these different wonderful machines, and we're finding out tons of information, what we actually know is still, there's still so much more to know.
Well, why is that? Why is it so hard to study the brain?
Because no two brains are alike, and every brain is constantly changing.
Wow.
So even when you think about brain surgery, they do brain surgeries, most brain surgeries anyways, they will actually do with the patient awake. And it's because your brain, it's not like the heart and the valve and they know exactly where that valve is. And it's the same in everybody. With the brain, the neural connections are slightly different based on your DNA coding. So the way your brain is DNA coded based on, you know, who you are. But it's also changed by your life experiences, your education. All of that is going to wire your brain slightly different than mine. So they kind of have to keep the patients awake because they just don't know exactly in their brain where specific parts are. And they have to, they don't want to destroy or touch anything they're not supposed to. So
well,
every
I mean,
brain. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, well, there's kind of the big overall structure is similar, like the frontal cortex and the cerebellum and all that. The structure is the same, but you're saying there's all these nuances because every time we learn something new, a new neuron and a new synapse is developed. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly. And based on your life experience, so you and I could walk into a room and we're actually experiencing the same event. You know, we hear the same noise, we see the same visuals, we feel the same thing in the room, but the way our brain processes it and what our brain pays attention to could be completely different based on our what's gone on in our past. So we were raised, the way our brains may be slightly wired different. You may be an auditory, I may be a visual, you may be a right brain, I may be a left brain. And so because of that, our perception and the way that our neurons connect and the way that our neurons make new neural pathways based on that experience can be very different. So it keeps this mystery about the brain because it's constantly changing. Your brain is not the same as it was 10 years ago because of all of the different experiences in your life and the different things that you've learned.
Yeah. What is your experience with the brain? Like, how are you a neuroscientist or are you somebody that is just fascinated by the brain? What is your background?
I am a brain personality connection expert, is kind of my title, creator of the Your Best Mind certification program that deals with that brain personality connection. I am a professional researcher of researchers is kind of how I explain it. I do not have a doctorate in neuroscience or neuropsychology, but I research all of those researchers. So my information is based on the white papers, the study reports, the research that's been done by these amazing neuroscientists. And then what I do is I read through all of that material and I pick and choose the information out of there that's going to apply to the specific arenas or the specific clients that I work with to bring that information to them in the most usable fashion possible.
What got you interested in this?
You know, 22 years ago, I think it was about 22 years ago, 21, 22 years ago, I was studying for a degree in natural health. And one of the required courses was on psychoneuroimmunology. And it's this big, long word that basically just explains the connection between our thought process in our mind, how that adjusts the chemical reactions within your brain, and how that in turn will either fire up the immune system or suppress the immune system. And as I was going through this study course, it was all of this scientific proof that if you're thinking negative thoughts, you are reducing your white blood cell production. And I was like, oh my goodness, what else can science show us about the brain and those connections that can help us in our day-to-day life? So at that point in time, I kind of sidebarred away from my natural health degree and really dove into anything and everything to do with brain research and practical application for our life, our business, and our relationships.
Wow. And you know, what I imagine that what you do, there aren't that many that necessarily bring the scientific approach. So you work with people both in the corporate world and entrepreneurs, and how to access their brain and their brain power to maximize their work experience. So given that our network, of course, is a network of entrepreneurs, tell us how the brain, how, you know, certain things about the brain and the entrepreneur and you know, what they can do. And I know this is very general, but some things immediately that an entrepreneur can do to begin to maximize their brain power.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Awesome thing to tell your listeners. The great thing about the entrepreneur brain is we are big picture people. So we are constantly, this is also the section of the brain that entrepreneurs, that is the home of entrepreneurialism, is also, and they have identified that in the brain based on brain scans, is also the portion of the brain that is responsible for innovation, for brainstorming, for imagination, and for big picture out of the box thinking. So this is our power. This is our strength. This is where our brain is gifted. However, for those individuals who are naturally gifted in this area, literally the most labor intensive, the most energy intensive portion of their brain to work out of is the section of the brain that tracks details. So what that means is we get these big picture ideas, but oftentimes we struggle with bringing them to fruition because of all of those high energy details that we have to track. So there's several things that an entrepreneur can do. One is build an amazing team. And I know that Sandra Yancey has talked about this many times. Whether it is people that you hire or individuals that you outsource to, you be you and you let them be them. So you be you, you stick with your strengths and you outsource those detailed things. Pay somebody $25-$30 an hour to do the things, or sometimes you can get interns for a whole lot less than that, to do those detailed things that are not in your wheelhouse, not in your brain strength. While you go out and you do the things that are going to make you the real money and power, you sit in your natural brain gifts and just flourish there. So that's one. Two is really separate. I always, when I have my mind-blowing life-transforming events a couple times a year, one of the things they get in their gift bags, all of the attendees, is a timer. And a timer is an entrepreneur's best friend, mm-hmm. because we lose track of time so quickly. So when you are sitting down at your desk and you are having to do things that are labor intensive, do first start off by something that's going to just thrill you, that's going to innovate your brain, engage your brain in the areas you love for about 30 minutes to an hour. Then you set your timer for 45 minutes. And during those 45 minutes, you focus on the things that are going to be energy intensive for your brain, the things that only you can do. You can't outsource, only you can do, but you limit the time. Because what you're telling your brain is you're telling your brain, it's okay. You can do this because you only have to do it for 45 minutes. And your brain responds amazingly. It's like, okay, I can focus on this. You do those labor intensive things. When that timer turns off, you get up, you move, you drink, hydrate, oxygenate, do that physical movement that is going to help to re-engage your brain, re-oxygenate your brain. And then you can go back and do some more work. But always sandwich those really heavy things that you want to procrastinate because they're so heavy into small chunks. Use that timer, do it in small chunks. And your subconscious goes, okay, I can handle this. If it thinks it has to sit for a full day doing things that are going to burn too much labor, too much energy in the brain, it will protect you. The amygdala will jump into gear and it will say, nope, I'm going to distract you and you're going to go do something that's not going to kill you, right? Because that's what the amygdala is there for. So you gotta fake it out. You gotta work with your brain. So those are just a couple of little tips.
I love that. And does that happen to me, especially like in the middle of the afternoon. I just find myself, I just look at my phone. I'll check Facebook. I get distracted. And I think it would be interesting when that happens for the people that happens to is the self-awareness, I think, is important, too. Don't you think that to just know if you start getting distracted, it might just be time to move on to something different, something that you enjoy doing. I mean, your brain is kind of telling you that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The different portions of the brain that are in our subconscious that we think they're in the action portions and we think we have no control over them, which actually we do through a lot of thought and mindfulness and things like that. But it's there to protect us. It's there to keep us out of stressful situations. And that's its job.
And you know, something that also is it's great for, I think, for parents too. You know, so many of our members are our parents, solopreneurs, and you know, we might have a kid that I mean has ADHD, and when they get distracted, you know, it seems to me what you're saying can apply to children as well who are, say, easily distracted. Where they work on, you give them something they love, and then you know, and then they go back to doing some homework maybe they don't like. And then, you know, I mean, would you recommend that as well for parents?
Absolutely. And also you have to keep in mind when you're talking about the developing brain of the child, there's just certain portions of the brain that are not engaged yet. They're not fully wired. They're not fully myelinated. So they're not working, which means you have to work with what is working. And movement is huge. One of the biggest mistakes that every teacher does and that every parent does when it comes time to sit down and do the homework is, okay, here, sit in this uncomfortable position at this desk or at this table and do the work. And instantly the brain goes, no, this is the worst way for my brain to have to learn in. So getting up and moving, switching things often, the brain starts to lose focus after 15, 20 minutes on one intense subject. So making them go, okay, you have to finish this math paper and you're going to sit at this table until you do, you're instantly, your work, the brain's going to go, no, I'm not. So what could be a 10 to 15 minute process becomes an hour or two. Because the brain gets very frustrated. So getting up and moving, allowing the kid, you know, if they're practicing their spelling words, for example, walking around the room, practicing their spelling words while their body is in movement. We talked about this before we started the recording. While the body is in movement, the brain is going to remember things. When you do multi-sensory input, the brain now has multiple senses to retract and recall that information. So yes, absolutely. Keeping the lessons short and moving them around, jumping them around. You may spend an hour on math, but do it in 15-minute increments.
Yeah.
And do it.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, and do it with movement and engaging pictures and engaging a lot of fun stuff that the brain actually looks forward to. And then it remembers it. It becomes a memory that is easy for it to access because it has good feelings attached to it.
Yeah. And then you go into the teenagers and the high school kids, and they've got 2 hours of homework each night, which completely blows my mind. So we got to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the topics that you actually are doing for your show on what we have to expect coming up too. So stand by.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
We're back now. This is Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith, and I'm talking with an amazing lady. Her name is Julie Anderson. She's one of our new EWN Podcast Network hosts. Her show, Brain Lady Speaks, is all about helping you maximize, optimize your brain power in your personal life and your business life. And so, Julie, I just wanted to really talk to you about some of the topics that you've done on your show, or even some things that you've written about on your website, brainladyspeaker.com. One of the things that really intrigued me is the difference between the female brain and the male brain. And we're not talking about superiority here, although, yeah, I'm kind of rolling my eyes like I'm superior, but we're not. We are superior at different things. And can you explain the difference between the male and female brain and what power we can access from that in moving forward in our business and our personal life?
Absolutely. And again, I emphasize that it's different, not better. It's just differences. And being that February is Relationship Month, one of the programs coming up will be all about, as a matter of fact, one of the programs coming up will be the all about the male-female brain difference and how to really bridge that communication gap. The brain is different when that Y chromosome is present during pregnancy, when the mother, the fetus is inherently a female fetus. When the Y chromosome is there, it's detected, the brain gets a chemical bath, and that chemical bath changes the growth and development of that fetus into a male. And it changes the brain in 12 main areas. So in the average male brain to the average female brain, and there's always exceptions to the rule depending on how strong that chemical bath was, there are 12 main differences. And some of those differences really, really change our perspective and our processing. One of them is, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but one is the corpus callosum. It changes. Men tend to be very lateral thinkers. They stay on point, one topic, one thing, because their corpus callosum is fairly small. By the way, the corpus callosum is the section that connects the left and right hemisphere of the brain, mm-hmm. the main neural pathway. And that is because of the way it's set up, men conserve their energy because I tell people it's like a 2-lane country road. They just don't have a lot of paths to go from right to left side of the brain. So they stay on point, they stay on target, and they stay focused. Women have many more neural connections, and they're larger in diameter on average. So we have like this major, you know, interchange freeway on ramps, off ramps in whatever the busiest city is that's nearest you. So we're very global in our thought process. And when we're when we're doing problem solving, when we are engaging in conversation, we use pretty much both sides of our brain. Well, men tend to stay on either the left or the right side, depending
so
on where they're at.
So freaking interesting. I love that. It's so interesting.
That now, the application of that is huge, Phyllis, because what it means is, you know, when your mate or your significant other is sitting and watching television and you're trying to talk to them and you're like, why are they being so rude and not responding to me? They can't. They don't have the pathways. They have to stay on the one thought. You have to wait until you become their single thought. And then you have their attention.
Wow. So that I won't get mad at my husband, I'll just say, I know that your brain can only do one thing at a time. So
exactly.
Well, we don't need to go through every one of them because I could talk to you all day about this topic. So I want to just kind of touch on a few things. And then people who are listening who want to go and listen to you, they can find you, at EWN. EWNradionetwork.com starting in March, and prior to that at blogtalkradio.com. But I also want to bring up leadership. You talk about brain and leaderships. How are the two connected?
Well, there are definitely, when you scan the brain, a lot of your leaders in society tend to be what we call frontal lobe thinkers. In other words, they're individuals that spend the least amount of energy utilizing either the front left or the front right portion of the brain. So that's the area that is very active when you are doing a lot of the leadership CEO type things. So that's individuals who have that are naturally gifted in it. But that doesn't mean that any of us can't step up into a leadership capacity. When you are a leader, keeping the brains and the individual personalities of the people that you are leading is incredibly important when you keep that in mind. Because depending on the difference between the way their brains work and the way your brain works can make the difference. If you're taking, we tend to always send messages on the way our brain is naturally wired, as opposed to taking into consideration those around us. And if you want to truly be a great leader, you want to be able to think, how are their brains working? What do they need to hear, see, or feel in order to be engaged? What do I need to give their brains what they need to feel validated and involved in these projects or whatever the thing is that we're leading them to? And when you are a great leader, you are taking those things into consideration. You're living with you're naturally stepping into your leadership capacity, but you're able to start really thinking about what do they need. It's not about how well am I going to lead? You'll lead really good. You'll be an amazing leader if you're taking into consideration the brains of the people that you are leading.
Wow. And as each brain is different, as you said earlier in our first segment, every brain is different. That could be a trick. It could be kind of tricky, couldn't it?
Yeah, it can definitely be challenging. But the biggest thing is to just really let the individuals know you're not always going to be able to please everybody, obviously. It just won't work, right? You have to make decisions. That's part of being a leader. But being sure that they know that they are being heard, that they know that they are being seen, that they know that their emotions are being felt, and that can be in the terminology that you use in communicating with them. That can be in just taking time to hear what their needs are, acknowledging them and going, okay, I will take this into advisement and I will see how I can make this, make this work for the whole team. If you're a leader of a group, keeping their needs in mind, and in general, taking care of everybody, making sure that everybody is felt included, even though you can't literally put everybody's feelings first. You have to, just acknowledging that is going to make a big difference.
I imagine so, and I think that It's a challenge, but I think that what you hit on is so important in terms of being heard. But you also talk a lot about positivity, the language that is used. You mentioned it earlier on. That's what initially got you. That's what got you interested in studying the brain initially, was you were learning about, you know, positive, the negative, when you use negative words or negative thinking, how that, it, you know, diminishes the number of cells. Am I correct, in your brain? I don't know if I'm saying it the right way, but
the number of white cells being produced by your immune system if there's a lot of stress or negativity. Yes.
So it's when there is a lot of stress or negativity, so that for your own health and your own immune system. But in terms of using positive and the power of words, how does that impact the brain? And particularly, I'm looking at entrepreneurs, and many, again, a lot of our members are solopreneurs. They're by themselves a lot. So it's also, I imagine, not just about what you say or hear to others, it's the self-talk as well.
Oh, tremendously. Again, these amazing scanning machines tell us so much about what's going on internally. They've done research on just simply for a split second flashing in front of a screen while they're scanning a brain, flashing in front of the screen the word no in front of the subject, and watching how that fires in the brain and what portions of the brain fire. And one of the most interesting things is that the amygdala, the subconscious, the fear, the fight or flight system in the brain kicks into gear by one word.
Wow.
One negative word. It is the most powerful negative word, believe it or not. And we hear it every day in our lives, right? But the way that we train our brains to react to it can be huge. And it goes across the board with negative words versus positive words. When you're hearing a lot of positive words, what portions of your brain jump into gear are more your prefrontal cortex, more of the, you know, portions, the critical thinking portions of our brain, as opposed to the lower emotional, what some people will call the reptilian or the automated system of the brain that just works on impulse. So you have to really, really be careful what you're surrounding yourself with, what terminology you are using in your marketing materials, what messages you are putting out in your Facebook Live videos. I remember when I wrote my first book, I went over it and over it and over it so many times to try to make sure that I removed the word don't, that I did not use that word, because the brain does not process that well. And it's a negative. It has a negative. It has a, you have to stop here. Don't do that. Don't slam the door. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's not a positive. It does not invoke positive reactions in the brain. So you really have to pay attention to, what do I want? What message do I want my potential clients and customers to feel, to see, to hear? What is it going to make their brains do when I'm sending this message? And if you're using a lot of negatives, you know, you have to go, okay, maybe I need to adjust this and put some more positives in there, and even surround yourself with positives. You know, I have positive words all over the place in my house, you know, just because that's what I want my subconscious to see. That's what I want to constantly be feeding my brain, because the more you feed your brain the positive, then the more your brain is going to dispense on the positive, and vice versa.
And that's so important for success in your business. If you can, again, this is a self-awareness, is you need to stop yourself. You need to know first that you're being negative or having negative thoughts. Give us, you know, one or two tips that that people can do to become more aware of what they're thinking, because it's like biting your nails. I think sometimes people just think, or they'll bite their nails and they don't realize they're doing it until they're bleeding on their, you know.
Right. There's a couple of really, you can go back to, you know, Psych 101 and put a rubber band around your wrist. And literally every single time you hear yourself say something negative about yourself or about other people or about the weather or about the problems in the country right now, you know, every time you hear yourself say something negative, you snap it. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it gives a physical the brain now connects a physical discomfort with that thought process. And eventually it trains the brain to go, I don't want this physical discomfort. It's kind of like the, I can't remember Pavlov's response, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The brain starts to go, I don't want this negative feedback. Therefore, I'm going to stop doing whatever it is that led to that. So you can go to that, you know, basic, but you can also start doing things like reading. If you're a journal writer, write in your journal in the evening or whenever you write it, and then wait a few hours, wait till the next morning and go back and read out loud, because your brain activates more sections when you're reading out loud, when you're hearing words out loud. Mm. So read out loud what it is that you wrote and think to yourself, how many words, go back and highlight all of the words that had a negative connotation to it. And that's going to help you to really start becoming aware of how much you might use negative thoughts or negative phrases that you, or even just negative words that you never realized you did before. Reading your emails out loud two or three times before you send them, so that you're hearing, your brain is really acknowledging, okay, how many times, focus, how many times did I say something negative in that email or in that blog? And it just, with awareness can come the change. So figure out what it is you're doing and then start going, okay, I need to rephrase these things and reframe them into something positive.
And what I
like, your brain will come along.
Yeah. And what I love about this too is everything you're saying, it takes the emotion out of it. And if we can just look at it, this is what our brain is receiving, and be aware, then we will behave differently. We can train ourselves, train our brain, and then we behave in a different way. And then that impacts the people around us, whether you're a parent, whether it's a client, you know, your spouse, your partner, you know, and look at it from that perspective, and it helps you be more objective. Julie, we've got it. We've got run out of time. I could talk to you forever. I can't wait. I'm so excited about your show, and we're so happy for you to be part of the EWN Podcast Network. Again, that's Brain Lady Speaks, and your show is on Wednesdays at what time?
Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. We look forward to more of Julie Anderson.
Thank you for having me. It was quite the pleasure.
And until next time.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.